He's a pure rental. He has 2 years left on his contract after this year, but his salaries in those years are over $35 million, non-guaranteed. He's not seeing that money. So this year he's making 16.89. If you trade for him now, you'd have to pay him around $14 million for the rest of the year and have that much cap space. That number will go down by about $968,000 each week. If you trade for him the week of the deadline, you probably end up having to pay him about $10 million for the rest of the year. So if that is the Raiders' price, then I think it's probably going to take a little while for the salary number to get to a point where teams are willing to part with something like that in order to bring him on.
Dan Graziano. Hey, good morning, everybody. It's on Davante Adams. There's a big, long Jeremy Fowler ESPN piece about the Diggs and Bills divorce.
Very long. I was reading it through the break. I'm not even fully
through it. Still going.
I'm at the point more than halfway down. We're now into like ex-Vikings scouts talking about him. It can be a lot. He might throw his helmet. He might wear in your quarterback, but find me a premier receiver that's not a diva, and he works incredibly hard. That's why coaches love him. And there's a lot in here about just kind of unspoken tension.
Yeah.
Basically between the two. There is, I will say this though again, there is not, so far at least, there's nothing in here about him wanting the ball more. There's a lot about his productivity, and there's a lot about, more than that, the Bills feeling that they didn't need him anymore, the same way that they did, but there is nothing in here about how much he wanted the football, because again, I just think it's almost a complete fallacy. He did get targeted a lot. He had 75 targets from all the Joe Brady games combined, which was like about, I think it was like a target and a half, just about two targets less, but it was still more than eight targets a game.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wanted out. Did he want out? Whatever. Where is he now? He's on a team where he is definitively not the number one wide receiver. He still gets the ball, but he is absolutely not the number one wide receiver. And he has taken a lesser role. Should I call slot receiver a lesser role? It's a different role.
Yeah, it's a role that...
It's kind of a reduced role, I guess.
Listen, whatever. I'm thinking back to quarterbacks get away with this and nobody else does. It's really what this is. Quarterbacks can be super demanding. The point about he can wear in your quarterback, that's a positive and a negative. Tom Brady, right? Let's talk about Tom Brady for a moment. We mentioned this earlier in the week. He was on the call of the Bucs game against the Eagles, and they put a quote up on the screen from Baker Mayfield saying when he came in, they wanted him to lighten the mood, everybody, and loosen everybody up and have some fun. Like, hey, let's loosen up around here. And like, listen, I think this is coaching. Sometimes your team needs to buckle down and get serious, and sometimes everybody needs to take a breath. You know, hey, relax, guys. Let's do our thing. Let's not get so amped up. But what was Brady's response to that? The idea that Baker Mayfield went in and tried to lighten the mood and have fun. This is on the broadcast. I want you to listen to this. Listen to how stunned Kevin Burkhardt is of what Brady said. But then also, actually listen to what Brady says.
Our guy here said, quote, they wanted me to come in, be myself, bring the joy back to football for guys who weren't having as much fun. It's funny because you've made this environment for me very stressful up here in the booth. So I understand where he's coming from.
Do you feel it?
No.
Stress? No. Well, I was going to say, I thought stressful was not having Super Bowl rings. So there was a mindset of a champion that I took to work every day. This wasn't daycare. If I wanted to have fun, I was going to go to Disneyland with my kids.
Tom Brady, you're not having fun?
Mm-hmm.
We're working. We're trying to win the Super Bowl. So if you have a player that is like that, I think it can be a big benefit. And I also think it's possible that that time frame can run out and then you change the look. You change the makeup of your room. But that's why the thing I struggle with the most is the rewriting of history. Like, oh, he was a problem. I mean, having him was obviously a very good thing in a number of ways. And the whole cancer and culture, I mean, like, man, people just want to write their own stories. You can't find anywhere on record him wanting more targets. And there's the Jeremy Fowler source, a piece with team sources that are protected who could just light them up, and they don't.
Yeah. So I'm pretty much through it now, and the overall takeaway that I might have from it is this comes off more like this was a Bills move, not a Diggs move. Like, not to say the Diggs was against it. There are even, you know, like, the team sources that are in here kind of say, like, I think at that age, so anything new can seem, you know, attractive to a receiver like that.
Sure.
And that Houston did appeal to him. But a lot of it is, like, the Bills were, here it is, Bills originally no intention to ship Diggs away. Executives from several receiver needy teams confirmed they did not hear from Buffalo this past offseason shopping Diggs. And then this is the interesting part maybe to me, is that it kind of reads like they only talked to Houston in this way. That they were not on, right there, several receiver needy teams, they never heard back.
Yeah.
They contacted the Bills. And then there's a comment here about one AFC executive called Buffalo lucky to get that kind of value for a 30-year-old receiver.
And this is something you have been on from the start, which the most likely thing about the Diggs departure is not that they wanted to do it or ever planned to do it, but an offer came in that was so good they thought, you know what, we can get away with this.
Yeah, that's a part of it. That is a part of it. Like, again, there is more in here about, like, they just maybe were like, all right, we don't need him in the same way. But I don't know that reading this that I've had that opinion that, like, I don't know if they don't get offered a second-round pick, if the best they have is a fifth, which is what Keenan Allen went for. By the way, that's another part. Houston pivoted to Diggs. They weren't even in on Diggs. They only were in on Diggs or called about him after they didn't get Keenan Allen when they thought they were.
Hmm.
So that could have changed a bunch of different things, right? Dominoes. But I wonder. It's a hypothetical you can't answer, but if the Texans don't come calling with a second and a fifth was the best they got, the Keenan Allen price, I've read this whole thing. I'm not sure whether he'd be on the Bills or not. I don't want to say 100% he wouldn't.
He probably would be. It cost them more to not have him than to have him. Right? Like, they could have him and somebody else that they would have added.
Yeah. Right.
To me, that's, like, always the funny part of all this is you do a thing and then that's what we always wanted to do. That's true of the draft. It's true of everything. Like, I don't know. Water under the bridge. Do they need him? Maybe not. That's the other part of, you know, this conversation about Davante Adams. I don't expect the Bills to go out and trade for Davante Adams. Anybody that calls and says, like, oh, did you learn your lesson?
Well,
like, what lesson? Getting an amazing receiver is amazing for your offense? Like, that worked awesome. And, you know, sometimes there are expiration dates, whether it's because of attitude or because of age or because of money. Guys leave. I mean, you said earlier something that made me think, oh, if they thought he was just an aging guy and they were going to get rid of him, that's what they did to Mitch Morse. Right?
Yeah.
Mitch Morse was a captain, popular.
Still a good player.
Said he wanted to come back,
still play. Yeah. Yep.
And they moved on from him. And no one thought it was because he's a bad guy. They're just like, expiration date. Maybe everybody's got an expiration date. Which team should call about Davante Adams on the screen right now on ESPN? Jets, Cowboys, Steelers, Ravens. Benjamin Solak says Bills should do it. It should be the Bills.
Yeah.
Yep.
Doesn't this Diggs story, though, kind of relate to the Adams stuff? It is. I mean, it's not like it's a surprise, but it's more, call it whatever you want. It might be fluff. It might be just more messaging from the team to explain the Diggs trade as best they can. But it is more of, hey, we didn't think we needed Diggs anymore. If they didn't think they needed Diggs anymore, then they might, you know, they might like Davante Adams, but do they think they need him?
Well, built into that is, if this had gone this way earlier, would they have been calling about Brandon Ayuk? Or were they hoping the draft fell differently for them? Were they thinking at that time, Brian Thomas Jr. is going to make it to our pick?
Or close enough to do, like, a small trade up?
Now, again, this is not even to say they don't like Coleman or they're mad about Coleman. Like, you know, they took a player with a lot of ability. But they did trade down, which is I feel like it's a very safe and very tame take on anything to say, if you're in the draft and you trade down, it means the board didn't fall for you.
Mm-hmm.
You could also, I guess you could flip that around. It fell in such a way that there's a bunch of players that you like. If you want to say it that way, you could. But the board didn't fall in a way where it's, look at this guy. Holy cow. That's our guy. Because when you take a guy, that's what you say. That's our guy. And when you trade down seven spots and allow a couple other players to get taken, you're saying, okay, there's a group here we like. I don't know. Anyway, the take-pocalypse is on the way. Sunday.
Yes, it is. How much does his game actually impact, though, that, though, right?
It really doesn't.
Like, if he on either end, he could do nothing in this game.
And right. There are some Bills fans that will make this game into 53 Diggses against 53 Diggses. Or, I'm sorry, 53
Diggs against 53.
53 non-Diggs players.
Yeah.
And if the defense comes up and has a great day and frustrates C.J. Stroud the same way that Minnesota did, it'll be like, look, Diggs doesn't make a difference.
See, I think the thing that's going to be – the thing that would frustrate me the most, annoy me, get me to turn off Twitter, will be if the Texans win and he has, like, 10 catches. Or, excuse me. If
no
the Texans
catches.
Lose.
And he has 10 catches.
And he has 10 catches. Because right. then it's going to be all Diggs is happy. He got his catches. But again, like the sentiment in this Jeremy Fowler piece and just kind of what I've believed all along is that if he had a problem with the Bills or he had a problem in general, it was not about how often he got the football. It was about he didn't believe they could win anymore. And that for him, he is psychotic about winning and losing and not being able to take the losing, right?
Yep.
Like what it's more about.
And that's how it works. Like some guys can get away with that. Some guys can get away with that for 2 years. And then some guys, you know, you're off the team.
Even 2 weeks ago, the game where there was a little of this like snark about Diggs on Twitter where he had like 10 catches on 12 targets and they lost big right to Minnesota.
Yeah.
And what happened during that game? The game that he had 10 catches and they lost. What happened during the game? There's a video from Houston reporters. During that game, he got the whole offense around him and was drilling into the whole offense. Drilling into the offense, leader speech, whatever you want. In a game where he was getting the football. And he's on the field fired up. Like, what are we doing? Let's go. I think there's more narrative than truth about some of it. But part of it, like, I also... It's Diggs week, right? Like, I don't absolve him of all of it.
Of course not.
He has made comments that the one thing I've always disagreed with him the most is when he says, it's up to him because he doesn't care. He has made comments like, you know, I can't control what everybody says about me.
But he doesn't.
Right? Like, the way you do things, the way you talk, the way you tweet, the way, even if it's all cryptic and it isn't even meaningful, it still does have an effect. If you really did care about not having the drama, like, you could stop it all. You could not have this all happen.
Right. This is the same as he could tell his brother not to tweet. He's got to get out of there.
Sure, right. And or have a different response even after it happens.
And CeeDee Lamb could tell his mom to not get mad at the Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Roma Dunze's dad tweeted video of the Bears because Adunze was open and didn't get the ball. And I would say, as a professional sports organization, you don't have to care about any of that. You choose to care about it. You don't have to care about it. Diana Rossini, the Jets and Cowboys are among the many teams monitoring the Davante Adams situation. Both have checked in with the Raiders. I'm told at this point, Vegas is in no rush to make a move until a team reaches their asking price. Here's the next question. We'll get to a call in a minute. Will we see anyone link the Bills as monitoring the situation or the opposite? Will the Bills get a message out there that they are not after this? Because, again, like, what's true versus who wants me to know that? Will the Bills let someone know? No, we're not really calling about him. True or not? That's what they would tell somebody. Potentially. I mean, you know, I'm not saying they're lying, but I just wonder which message will get out, if any.
If none gets... I don't know. I guess, would they... They never did it before, right? But maybe that was because they were monitoring, right? Remember when Hopkins was first an idea last training camp? Right, he got cut by the Cardinals. He wasn't even on the Titans yet.
Yep.
What was one of the first reports that we found out about DeAndre Hopkins? That the Bills and the Chiefs were monitoring
each other.
Each other.
Yeah.
Each other about it. So we have heard about them and the receiver market before. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess if I'm almost wondering if we don't hear anything about them, should that be an assumption or a guess that they're a part of the many teams? I mean, what is monitoring to say? Right? Like, monitoring
it means
is,
you call the GM and say, don't do anything without talking to me. I've got an offer for you here.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of this process. I want to know what's going on. Matt in Buffalo. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Hey, guys, couple of comments. I would do anything in my power to get Hopkins here. Anything in my power.
Hopkins or Adams?
Adams. I think besides, we only have one receiver that would start on any team in the NFL. That's it. If we want to get over the hump and have a serious run, I would get rid of whoever it takes to free up the money. Now, we got that guy that just got suspended, right, for 4 games. So, obviously, it's taken about 8 months. He was found liable for his actions. McDermott preaches so much on players' characters. We got a guy that's making millions, that plays 9 snaps a game, that was found guilty, obviously, of beating up his pregnant girlfriend. Get rid of him. Bring in a big-name receiver that we need. Because right now, Shakir's the only guy we got. These other guys will not start on any NFL team. One other comment. Cook had 1 completion for 9 yards. That's it. I watched him. I thought he was open 80% of the time. Why is Allen forcing the ball down the field and not utilizing Cook? I think Cook's better catching the short pass than running. I'll hang up and listen.
All right, so a couple things. One, Von Miller was not found guilty. The league suspended him. The charges were dropped. Well, I don't even know if charges were dropped. We ever saw that.
Or just
all
not
I know,
brought.
They were never brought. So he was found guilty, I guess, by the league of violating their policy. That's it. The receiver comment real quick. I don't think they have great receivers at all. But there are some bad receiver cores in the league. Go watch New England. Like, there, I'm not to say that this is makes the Bills a great receiving core, but there are receivers on the Bills, I think, that would start for other teams. And then finally about Cook, I don't know. Like, he's not checking the ball down. Hasn't that been a theme through a couple of weeks that he is taking the short stuff? I'm not to speak to whether he did that against Baltimore, but for the season as a whole, I don't feel like that's a problem right now. If anything, I feel like the opposite might be a problem. For a quarterback that once said, I will never be Captain Checkdown, and the league has gone that way, so it's more defendable, but I feel like he is checking it down when he needs to.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. 803-0550. The point about cutting Von, like, I mean, they could have done that when the allegation came out and eaten a, you know, big, huge cap hit, of course.
I don't know if they could now because his... Because of the way his contract's reworked, because of how it's salary now,
well,
or it's not salary?
It would be different. I mean, when this allegation came out last year, he was a non-factor on the roster off an ACL.
Right.
And you could have just made the move. Again, and when this accusation came out, when this story came out, it was, this guy doesn't even make a difference. Just cut him. But they kept him on board, and... You know, maybe that would have been too difficult to go for in the cap and last year and this year and how they designate. I don't know. I'm not a capologist. Right now, the dead cap hit for Von, if they cut him at the end of this year, there's an out and there's $15 million in dead cap.
Well, I want to know, the only thing I would want to know to that is his suspension somehow void money? Is he somehow broken the terms of his agreement somehow because he's suspended?
They just redid the contract.
Right.
In a way that he lost less money by a suspension. I would find it very hard to believe that he would have signed that if it would have voided the contract upon this suspension.
Right, money in his pocket, but would the Bills save more cap because of it?
No, they don't save cap. They don't
at
save
all?
A suspension does not save you any cap space. Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack mentioned this with Bulldog yesterday, that it all gets worked out at the end of the season, and since cap gets rolled over, it's not like the Bills just get cap space.
But that's if he's on the team. I'm saying if they were to cut him today.
No.
If he's on the team, it gets rolled over.
You don't get to cut
and you don't get the game checks.
You don't get to cut a player today and just save $10 million in cap space. Otherwise, teams would do that all the time.
If a player was suspended?
If I could cut a player right now and just save $10 million in cap space, wouldn't
Hasn't that been a story about Deshaun Watson, though? if he got this new allegation against him, that the Browns could wiggle out of his contract because he would be violating the personal conduct policy.
Right. The key is new charges. And with Vaughn, the contract restructure happened
after the
post charges.
Okay.
Everybody know, or whatever, post allegation, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are no charges. He was not convicted. Whatever. Doesn't have to matter to you or me. But it's not like anybody's in the dark about this. The Bills would have known this was coming. Or expected it.
Mm-hmm.
Paul in North Tonawanda before the break. Hey, Paul.
How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. I just tuned in a little bit ago, but I don't know if you guys went over or not, but the NFL and its violation policy or whatever, you know, disciplining players, it's just, it's so inconsistent. And I just think they need to find a better policy or find a better way of doing this. Because, like, you look around the league and Rashee Rice never received anything.
He's going to.
He's going to, Paul.
First, I mean, he's got an actual charges against him,
yeah,
and he will receive discipline from the NFL. Just like Vaughn took almost a year.
I know, but once the charges dropped in Vaughn's case, didn't we already get over that?
And it still took a year, and they disciplined him.
Because they did their own investigation.
Right,
and Rice, by the way, I think has a trial in, like, June.
Yeah,
that's
in the case of like Ben Roethlisberger got suspended for conduct detrimental to the league because of an accusation of sexual assault. Like, you just accused of something, or if you put the league in a negative light, just because charges get dropped doesn't mean you're not subject to league discipline.
Alvin Kamara was caught on camera beating the living you-know-what out of somebody at the Pro Bowl, and it took a year and a half for him to get suspended. So it happens.
Yeah, so I guess your point, like, if you want them to act sooner, they could do that. Whatever reason that they need a year to make these actions, you know, it's, they are fairly consistent with the disciplining of the players, but it's not exactly speedy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The NFL guys, they always get away with stuff. Or, you know, we look at Adrian Peterson's case or Michael Vick. There's just been so many instances throughout the NFL within, like, the last 10 years. And I just... maybe just because I'm a Bills fan and, you know, it came, you know, after a loss and now we play the
Peterson, game, to this point, Peterson got suspended, Vic got suspended.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're right, but it just seems a little inconsistent. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I don't know. And then just mid-season like that, you know, I would have preferred it if they would have kind of waited till next year since the season's already started, but...
yeah, I mean... Peterson got suspended for the last six games of a season when the story about him came out in 2014. Vic missed, what, a full year more?
Yeah.
So.
No, this is an area I don't really criticize the NFL for.
And they could act faster. If you're looking for consistency in how soon, like, oh, within a month you make a ruling on if there'll be a suspension, I guess you could make a point about that.
They generally like waiting, though, till the legal process plays out, which is why, like, You know Rashee Rice has a court date at the moment for, like, June. You know they're not making a decision before June.
Right.
Because, like, you just know it.
Because think of it this way. If you're the NFL, you're suspended for three games. Like, okay, wow, three games. And then he gets convicted and sentenced to 10 years. You know, you're like, oh, wait, is the penalty for a 10-year crime three games? Like, that seems dumb. Yeah. I don't want to come in before the justice system. And let's also be real about the justice system. It doesn't exactly work very quickly.
Also, you just mentioned this. It was out of left field for us. Would it have been out of left field for the Bills?
No. Not at all.
Like, would they have had an idea that something could be coming, like, in March?
Yes, they would have thought it was coming as soon as it happened, I would think. That, all right, well, put that on the radar. That's something that's going to happen. And now for Rice, I mean, he's not going to get suspended until he's healthy, because they're certainly not going to suspend an injured player.
Yeah, no.
Come back, rehab, then sit. When you get a drug suspension by the league, that happens too.
He's probably not going to play for a long time then. Right? Like, if he's going to...
a year and a half?
Do we know yet if he's going to miss the rest of the year?
We do not know that yet.
Okay. If he does miss the rest of the year, though, and then the suspension for him kicks in at the beginning of next year, I mean, you might not see Rashee Rice play football until, like...
maybe 2 years, depending on how long the suspension is.
Yeah, we'll see, because his allegation was, like...
he caused a big accident driving 119 miles per hour.
People got injured... yep. And he left the scene of the crime. Yep. Like, it was not good at all.
803-0550. We'll get a break in. Thanks for the phone calls.
Be sure to join me this coming Saturday at Consumers Beverages. We'll be at 2440 Clinton Street in West Seneca for a Heineken Silver event. 12 to 2 p.m. Stop by, register for a chance to win autographed local football memorabilia. Enjoy other giveaways from WGR. No purchase necessary. Heineken Silver, world-class light beer. See you this Saturday. Consumers Beverages in West Seneca.
Ever If I'm thinking from the perspective of Davante Adams, that's why the Jets probably make the most sense.
Right.
Because the ramp-up time is a lot shorter than anywhere else. Because I know exactly what Aaron Rodgers wants. I know the way he plays. And I know how to fit my skill set to what he's doing. And that's been a lot of the problem with Garrett Wilson and why he can't get on the page with Aaron Rodgers. When you have quarterbacks that are that tenured and have a certain style, they're not interested, no matter how much ability you have, to change their game to fit you. It's the reverse.
Andrew Hawkins on Davante Adams.
And the Jets offense overall, which they kind of do look like they need him.
Yep.
But they shouldn't. Like, Garrett Wilson should be doing better.
But past Garrett Wilson, what is there? Breece Hall. Mike Williams, there's a lot of money for a guy that's always hurt, and Davante Adams over Mike Williams is a massive upgrade.
He did go 4 for 67 last week, but he hadn't done much before that.
All right.
And he also went 4 for 67 because they pretty much had to throw away from Patrick Surtain all day.
Right.
Right.
There are a couple we're getting back to his defense comes back. A couple corners that are we had this conversation with Scott Pianowski, and we'll talk to him again tomorrow. Erasers. You have Surtain, Sauce Gardner, not as much, but Surtain is definitely on that list. And I think Christian Gonzalez in New England is we're talking about on this list too.
Yeah.
An eraser.
Well, the other thing that's happening with the Jets offense is they cannot run the football. And that is very different. Like, that was not part of the blueprint. I thought the blueprint for them was that Rodgers would come in, they would run a lot of play action, he'd be a little bit more of a game manager type quarterback. Maybe, I didn't think as much as he's been. But part of that was they'd be able to run the ball because they have a star running back. And that star running back is like dead last in the NFL in every single metric and is averaging 3 yards a carry and has maybe lost his starting job. Like, he was the backup last week.
You know who else has terrible metrics right now?
Who?
Achan.
Really?
Yeah.
I know he's like under 4 yards a carry.
It's not just that. It's yards over expectation.
Yeah. It's bad.
Not the same guy.
That's funny, because last year he was like setting records on that stuff.
Yes. He is. Devin Achan in Miami has been horrible.
Yeah, let's see. The bottom. Yeah, he's dead last. Yards under expected. He's minus 88, which is 30 yards worse than the next closest, which is DeAndre Swift.
Right.
Wow, that's insane.
That eliminates.
Wow, he's not just the worst. He's the worst by like a mile.
That takes out blocking and how many yards would the average running back get? Like, next gen stats, you can kind of do this. Achan has been awful.
They're saying the average replacement level running back should get like 240 yards, and he's at 160.
Mm.
Wow.
Everything is bad in Miami.
That is absolutely, everything is bad. McDaniel, by the way, is getting blasted.
Yeah, well, I'd be
daily good by Miami.
Okay. Go ahead. Root for that.
It is.
Seriously.
I'm softening on him a little bit too, because I saw someone, I'll have to find who it was. Someone broke down the last 5.5 games that Tua's played, and like, they're a bottom 10 offense.
Okay.
In the last 8 games where Tua's played 5.5 of them.
If I'm a Miami fan, I'll tell you what I would want. I would want this team to finish with the worst record in football, draft the best quarterback, throw to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle for 2 years, and keep Mike McDaniel.
I don't think McDaniel makes it to that.
Okay.
He won't. If I'm
a Miami fan, that's what I would want. Will he survive that? Maybe not. He did just sign an extension.
Yeah. But we were wondering, what's the counterpunch, right? Like, they started to get figured out a little bit and at the end of last year. And they have had, they haven't had a lead yet all year. That's what it is. They've had one good half of football.
That is a...
against the Jaguars, who are 0-4.
That's right. They haven't had a lead because they kicked and won a game as time expired.
Yeah.
Which is it? Is it that Tua's not that good? Because if it's Tua's not that good, then he took a not that good quarterback to the number one offense in football.
And then
the coach is good.
That's why I'm like, I'm stuck up in the air, because I don't know.
Is he trash? Because if he's trash, then okay. What would happen if Tua had a different coach?
Well, something's off. Something's off, right?
He built
other backup quarterbacks. Joe Flacco won a game. What are backups in the league this year? Malik Willis has won games.
Okay. Malik Willis is a good example of a guy that's better than what Mike McDaniels had. But the other backups to win are Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton. If Joe Flacco ran the Miami offense, he would complete passes. Skylar Thompson, not so much.
I don't know that Willis, though, is any different. Willis was horrible in Tennessee and had showed up like 2 weeks before he started a football game. It's not that different than Tyler Huntley.
Skylar Thompson. Skylar Thompson's been on the Dolphins for multiple seasons.
Yep.
In the playoff game against the Bills, don't forget Skylar Thompson played in a postseason playoff game. That happened in our life, and we watched it in our stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know his stats were for that game?
What?
This is like a maybe we should move on from a different quarterback. He's still there. Skylar Thompson in the postseason, I'm pulling it up right now.
He was like, wasn't he like 15 of?
He was 18 of 45.
Yeah.
For 220 yards.
Yeah.
45 attempts.
Yeah.
220 yards. Hey, maybe we should get somebody else. Nope.
This is what they're doing in Miami every day. They're trying to figure out who they're yelling at.
Right. Well, I would say be mad at the bad players. That's usually where I land, is be mad at the people that are not good, not the people that are good. I would not be mad at Tyreek Hill. I would not be mad at Jalen Waddle. I probably wouldn't be mad at McDaniel. And if McDaniel and Waddle are yelling at each other and it's all falling apart, I would understand why, because when you have high expectations and you want to win and you've been good, you're hoping to take the next step and literally everything possible goes wrong, people get mad. What would be better if Tyreek Hill and Mike McDaniel were smiling? Sometimes I'm always blown away. Wow, things are going bad. And they're upset about it. Yeah!
Mm-hmm.
Thank you! Good! It's not a point about Diggs on the sideline against Cincinnati, but people getting mad when you lose is good!
Yeah, everything going bad, though, is also, like, their defense is not as good as people thought it was.
That's for sure. Defensively, they keep changing coordinators. They don't have an identity. I mean, on defense, are they also hurt there, too? Jalen Phillips is out again.
Maybe.
Is Chubb back yet?
That
to full form?
Yeah, injuries. Like, Terron Armstead is that on offense, right? Like, that was part of the breakdown I read about the 5.5 games they played with Tua before he went down and how bad it was. A big point was, look how much worse they are when Armstead's out. Like, they are putrid when Armstead's out. But, man, your offense shouldn't be that brittle. Your offense shouldn't be your left tackle's out and you go from top 10 to bottom 10, even when the quarterback's healthy.
Bradley Chubb, there's no timetable for his return. So they're down their two defensive ends again.
Yep. They're down their two defensive ends. They're down their starting running back in Mostert. They're obviously down their quarterback. You see Tyreek Hill's going to be playing with an injured thumb?
I did.
Also, Jalen Waddle. What happened to him? Jalen Waddle doesn't look like... I mean, he's getting the ball thrown his way, and he's not catching it, or he's not separating the same way he was a couple years ago. Again, though, this is the Dolphins story. It may be on every front. He is someone that has been battling through injuries for like two straight years, and maybe he's just not 100% healthy because he's always dealing with something that's nagging. Miami.
Jeff in Buffalo. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Good. Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, real quick, on this Tua thing and McDaniels, number one, I got to be right up front, not a McDaniels fan at all. When and if Tua does come back, you know, I look at Miami and I go, they're going to put him behind that offensive line, really, and expect that things are going to go good. When you look at Buffalo and how they played Miami earlier in the year, and if you look at some of the playoff games late last year and when they sort of went in their funk, it seems like, and you know as well as anybody in this league, and it's a copycat league, and once you find a defense or a scheme to throw an offense off, whether it be timing or disrupting patterns and so on and so forth, I think you're seeing defenses play Miami's offense a little differently. Yeah, go ahead, throw it underneath, but you're not running past our safeties. You're not going to get Tyreek on a 7-yard flat and he's going to go 77 on you. Besides that, and the whole, I hate to say it, but this buddy-buddy coaching system, everybody's my friend on the team. Coaches don't work like that. It doesn't work like that. When you go to work, your supervisor can't be your friend because at the end of the day, he might have to say, you know what, you're laid off for 2 days. You know, I mean, or you're benched. So this buddy-buddy system of coaching, and he's the newest, trendiest, coolest, youngest thing, I love to see it happen, only because I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, a McDaniels hater, and Tua, say he comes back in 8 weeks. You think that offensive line is going to keep Tua up for another 7 weeks? I doubt it. Okay, guys, have a great day.
Thanks, Jeff.
Again, like I wonder, I don't know. It's tough to tell. Do their issues on offense even go deeper than just Tua's out? Tyreek Hill Tyreek Hill, since week 13 of last year, that's a 10-game stretch, has one 100-yard game. It was week one this year. He had a 75-yard touchdown against the Jags. How is that possible? How is that guy who looked, and he, again, injuries, everybody, but one 100-yard game for the guy that I think looks is the most dangerous receiver in football on a play-to-play basis? Did they get figured out? I don't know. It's hard. You can't tell now either because Tua's not in.
How well are teams doing passing down the field against these defenses? Let's look at that. Miami, okay. Way but 28th.
Okay.
I've got from Tej Seth, who is Football Analytics for...
Yes. Yep. I forget where he is. Sumer Sports, right?
Maybe.
I think Sumer Sports.
I think that's right. I've got EPA on deep passes and how often teams do it. Now, okay. Miami this year is, of course, terrible because it's been a game and a half for Tua, right? Game and a half. Where are the Bills on expected points added on deep passing?
I guess like 19th.
Two.
Second best?
Two.
No way.
Yep.
Really?
Passes over 15 yards.
Wait,
EPA.
Okay. Is there something there about like how often they're doing it?
Oh, you want to know how often they're doing it?
I was going to say, because is it not as much?
That's different.
Is that maybe a smaller sample size?
Their EPA on deep passes?
Yeah.
Second.
Okay.
How often are they doing it? Here are the teams doing it more. Minnesota, New Orleans, San Francisco, Houston, Green Bay, Dallas, Indy, Arizona, Jacksonville, Denver.
Okay, so they're 11th. That's way better than I would have thought. Obviously, way better.
Yep.
Is that the Shakir play?
The Shakir play is a big one.
Is the Shakir play? I don't want to not count that though, right? Because Allen makes those plays.
Yeah, it's part of the offense
a lot, so it counts.
Anyway, 803-0550. The Dolphins. We'll see how bad it gets for them. Well, who are they going to hire? What are they going to draft first overall?
Belichick.
They're going to hire the next defensive mind? Maybe. Belichick's
going. I've got Belichick going everywhere.
Jacksonville. So.
Jacksonville. I've got him going to the Giants and Dable going to the Eagles to reunite with Jalen Hurts. How about that? You like that one?
I don't mind that.
Belichick to the Giants. Sirianni fired. Dable goes back to
Saquon.
Coach with Saquon and his college quarterback, Jalen Hurts.
Extendo Sports coming up in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, wrapping things up before we hand off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Just going to check real quick. Love is Blind. How many episodes are they giving us here? Today's Love is Blind Day. On Netflix.
It's like it's already out.
I don't know if it's tonight. New season. Here we go. New season. New episodes. Okay, yeah, great. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 6. All right. And then more drop next week. Let's go.
I mentioned last segment that Tyreek Hill only has one 100-yard game in the last 10 weeks. Who has the most? There are 4 guys with 4 or more.
Malik Nabers.
No, he has 2.
Out of 4?
2 out of 4, yeah. There's one guy with 5, 3 guys with 4.
Nico Collins.
He's got 4, yep.
Jefferson?
Jefferson's got 3. We saw one of them playing on Monday Night Football. The guy with 5 played on Monday night. Most 100-yard games in the league last 10 weeks.
Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Amon-Ra St. Brown is 5. And then the other two are Rashee Rice and DK Metcalf. Yep, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Man, Tyreek Hill. Same amount of 100-yard games in the last 10 weeks as Tyreek Hill. Michael Gallup. Bo Melton. Alec Pierce. Josh Palmer. Darius Slayton. This is cheating. It's not cheating. It's a little unfair because I think Hill did get to 99 in one of his games, but you know.
Yeah.
Here we are.
2 days away from the Sabres Open. If you missed our conversation with Lindy Ruff, you can go back and listen to it. Live from Prague. Ryan Miller is there. Jaroslav Spacek. Yeah. Aleš Kotelík. I've not seen.
What's Ryan Miller doing there?
Watching hockey.
Just, I'm going to go to Prague.
I would.
Maybe you got the invite.
I would. Go to Prague.
hang out with Yarrow.
We should call Brian Koziel. Koziel tomorrow or Friday because he's there for this set of games.
Do we think Ryan Miller could just call up Aleš Kodalík and stay at his house? Like, hey, Al, I'm coming to Prague. Can I stay at your place?
Yes.
You think he could stay at his place?
What's the
most... Do you think they could do that with all their former teammates or like a lot of them?
Yeah, probably.
Could he call up Yuri Novotny and stay at his house?
That's a good question. What's the most memorable Kodalík goal? The backhand in the shootout. No. Does he have a goal that's memorable?
Game...
Playoff goal?
Two. He had a goal against Carolina where they were running through the Hurricanes.
Is that the goal to go up 4-1?
I think
in
so.
Game four,
Ludman wrecked somebody, and then Kodalík buried a goal.
Game three,
and they were cruising. That was the moment. I've never been more confident in my life.
They were going to win the cup.
They were going to win the cup than that play.
Yeah, it was game three because they lost game four. They got shut out by Martin Gerber.
Okay,
and then game five in Carolina.
Okay. Is he got another one? He scored a shootout goal in the Winter Classic, didn't he?
Maybe.
I think he did.
Anyway.
I don't know if he's got another one.
We gotta go.
Tune in all week for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see comedian Mr. Derek at Rob's Playhouse Theater on Saturday, October 5th. Mr. Derek recently featured on the Joe Rogan Experience the fastest rising comedian in the country. Visit robsplayhousetheater.com for details. Rob's Playhouse Theater for details.